the other side of the Atlantic, a humiliated Boris Johnson has been forced to cut short his visit to New York and fly home after the British Supreme Court unanimously decided that his recent shutting down of Parliament was illegal. Annie Hastwell asked British politics commentator Clem McIntyre whether the fact that the decision was unanimous meant the forces were really turning against the controversial Prime Minister.
Without doubt, it's an extremely significant decision. Many people had expected the court's findings to go the other way and to find that the government was within its rights in proroguing Parliament. So the fact that that confounded some expectations, but that it was 11-0 was a truly outstanding or remarkable result, and will have implications, I think, in terms of British constitutional law and politics for some time.
And a lot of people are asking, well, why did the Queen allow it in the first place? What's the protocol there?
Well, it's a very good question, but the way that the Westminster system works is that the Queen, who is the head of state, acts on the advice of her ministers. Even if she has personal misgivings, and who knows, she may or may not, that's not really relevant. As a constitutional monarch, she is obliged to act on the advice of her ministers, and her ministers recommended that Parliament be prorogued, and really she had no choice in the matter at all.
Now, earlier this week, it was looking as though the EU were ready to sort of do a bit of negotiating with Boris Johnson. Does this spell an end to that? Is it once again a standoff?
No, not really. If anything, this means the decision from the Supreme Court means that the Parliament will come back and the government will be under more scrutiny. It will be challenged and questioned by the Parliament, in which it has no majority. And so it probably puts the acid on the government, in a sense, to try and get a deal done as soon as possible. I think the odds are still that a deal won't be secured with the EU, and that will leave the Johnson government looking for a way to leave on the 31st of October with the so-called no-deal outcome, whereas a recent decision of the Parliament, the so-called Benn Act, has said that the government must request an extension. So the next constitutional showdown will be over how the government manages that tension between its desires and what the law says. But in terms of the day-to-day negotiations with the EU, I don't think this makes a significant change to the face-to-face negotiations that are taking place to try and secure a deal of some sort that is suitable for both sides.
Except that Boris Johnson is very damaged by all the events of the last few days, and there's such a pressure on him to resign. Do you think he will?
No, I don't think he will. I think that he will argue that the government did not knowingly mislead the Queen. It did not knowingly break the law. Its legal advice was that what it was doing was acceptable and legal within the bounds. So he will argue that there's no reason for resignation as a consequence of that. It will damage his credibility. There's no doubt about that. He will take some political flak for heading a government that behaved in that way. But in many senses, it'll also reinforce his standing amongst those in the population who are keen to see a Brexit, because they will see him as someone who's prepared to, as it were, walk through legal fire to stop the Parliament from frustrating the will of the executive. In terms of the deal, though, the EU does not want a no-deal exit, and the UK would not be suited by a no-deal exit. So there's still pressure on both sides to try and come to some agreeable arrangement. I think, as I said, it's unlikely, but nothing that's happened would have meant that that either side, in a sense, pulls back and says, well, that's it. There's no point in even talking anymore.
Emeritus Professor Clem McIntyre from the School of Politics and History at the University of Adelaide.